وقال الذين كفروا لن نؤمن بهذا القرآن ولا بالذي بين يديه ولو ترى إذ الظالمون موقوفون عند ربهم يرجع بعضهم إلى بعض القول يقول الذين استضعفوا يقول الذين استضعفوا للذين استكبروا لولا أنتم لكنا مؤمنين.
The unbelievers say, "We shall never believe in this Quran, nor in any scripture before it. If you could only see the wrongdoers arrayed before their Lord, each bandying charges against the other. Those who were suppressed will say to those who waxed arrogant, 'Had it not been for you, we would have been believers.' The unbelievers say, 'We shall never believe in this Quran, nor in any scripture before it.'" The reference here is to the unbelieving Arabs who did not recognize any scripture. Those who were suppressed will say to those who waxed arrogant, "Had it not been for you, we would have been believers." That is, the common people who blindly follow their leaders, chiefs, spiritual guides, and rulers, and are altogether unwilling to give heed to any well-wisher's advice if it is discordant with the orientation of those they follow. On the Day of Judgment, they will know fully what the truth is and what they had been led to believe. A time will come when these common people will realize how they had been misled by their own leaders to the doom that would then stare them in their faces. They will turn to their leaders in utter disgust and reproachfully scream at them, blaming them for leading them astray and landing them in a mire of woes. Had it not been for their leaders' misguidance, they will contend, they would have accepted the teachings of God's messengers and prospered.
أنحن صددناكم عن الهدى بعد إذ جاءكم بل كنتم مجرمين.
The arrogant ones will retort to those who were suppressed, "What? Did we bar you from the guidance after it came to you? Not at all. Rather, you yourselves were evildoers." The arrogant ones will retort to those who were suppressed, "What? Did we bar you from the guidance after it came to you? Not at all. Rather, you yourselves were evildoers." In turn, their leaders will point out that they, to wit, their leaders, were few in number and hence did not have the power to force these teeming millions to follow them. If their followers had wanted to believe, they could have overwhelmed their tribal chiefs, religious guides, and rulers. On the contrary, it is the mass of followers who provided the necessary manpower to their guides to error and became the source of their strength and material resources. If not for their offerings and tributes, these leaders would have been bereft of the resources necessary to make their enterprise operational. Had they not taken an oath of fealty at the hands of their so-called religious guides, their religious adventure would have been in the doldrums. Had they not raised vociferous slogans to exalt them, they would have had no locus standi. These followers were virtually the army of their false leaders whose support strengthened their hold. As for their failure to follow the way shown by the messengers, the leaders will claim that the followers themselves are to be blamed for it rather than anyone else. The main reason for their not believing in the messengers was their own disinclination. They were the slaves of their desires and material interests. It is that which made them averse to the course of piety and uprightness taught by the messengers. It was because of this weakness that they felt more attracted to the erroneous doctrines and corrupt ways of their false leaders rather than to the teachings of God's messengers. The common pursuit of material interests and desires served as a mutual bond between them and their leaders. They followed only those degenerate religious leaders who would let them freely indulge in all kinds of sin and still assure them of deliverance on the Day of Judgment, providing they received an offering from them in return. They trusted only those fake religious leaders who could offer them a garbled version of faith and make religion a slave of their whims and fancies. They were interested only in worldly affluence in disregard of the hereafter. In like manner, corrupt and morally depraved rulers suited them, for they helped them lead the kind of life they wished. In this respect, there was a mutual understanding between these depraved leaders and their followers. Hence, the followers claim that they were innocent victims who had been compelled into professing false beliefs was simply farcical.
وقال الذين استضعفوا للذين استكبروا بل مكر الليل والنهار إذ تأمروننا أن نكفر بالله ونجعل له أندادا وأسروا الندامة لما رأوا العذاب وجعلنا الأغلال في أعناق الذين كفروا هل يجزون إلا ما كانوا يعملون.
Those who were suppressed will say to those who waxed arrogant, "By no means, it was your scheming night and day when you would enjoin us to disbelieve in Allah and set up others as equals to Him." When they are confronted with the chastisement, they will be remorseful in their hearts. "We shall put fetters around the necks of the unbelievers. Can people be requited except for their deeds?" When you would enjoin us to disbelieve in Allah and set up others as equals to Him. The arrogant ones will contend that their followers were equally responsible for straying. The followers will contest this and say to their leaders that they had totally enchanted them by their machinations, deceptive moves, and false propaganda. They will also emphatically point out the myriad tactics they constantly employed to entrap God's creatures. They will also argue that in addition to exposing their followers to the charms of worldly life, these leaders had befooled them and employed ever new tricks to entrap them.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ.
We never sent a warner to any town, but its wealthy ones said, "We disbelieve in the message you have brought." We never sent a warner to any town, but its wealthy ones said, "We disbelieve in the message you have brought." It is frequently stated in the Quran that the affluent have always been at the forefront of those who oppose the call of the prophets.
وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ.
They always said, "We have more wealth and children than you have, and we shall not be chastised." They always said, "We have more wealth and children than you have, and we shall not be chastised." The affluent unbelievers used to contend that they were nearer to and greater favorites of God than the believers. This was the reason why they would argue God had lavished His bounties upon them in great abundance, whereas He had deprived the believers of those bounties or had endowed upon them less abundantly. Had He been unfavorably disposed towards the unbelievers, it is inconceivable that He would have lavished upon them such conspicuous prosperity, riches, and glory. They further argued that since it could be seen by anyone that the unbelievers enjoyed God's favors in this life, what justified the belief that He would chastise them in the life to come? It stands to reason, they would say, that if there is to be any chastisement in the hereafter, its victims will not be they, but those who are devoid of God's favors in the present life. At several places, the Quran refutes the misconception of those who are excessively enamored with the glamour of worldly life.
قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
O Prophet, say to them, "My Lord grants provision abundantly to whomsoever He pleases and straightens it for whomsoever He pleases, but most people do not know this." O Prophet, say to them, "My Lord grants provision abundantly to whomsoever He pleases and straightens it for whomsoever He pleases, but most people do not know this." The unbelievers simply do not understand the purpose and wisdom underlying the distribution of sustenance in the world. They fall prey to the misconception that those who are rolling in wealth are necessarily God's favorites, and that those who have been granted provisions on a limited scale are subject to His wrath. Were one to observe things carefully, one would see that quite often conspicuous prosperity is the lot of those who are most notoriously wicked and corrupt. On the other hand, those who are upright and whose excellence of character is acclaimed by everyone live in straitened circumstances. That being the case, how can any reasonable person say that God dislikes people of sterling moral character and likes those that are wicked and mischievous?